Preacher always tries to be seasonal in his preaching. I mean, at Christmas time, I try to preach a Christmas message. At Thanksgiving, I try to preach a Thanksgiving message. At the beginning of the year, I preach a message that challenges you to live for God. Valentine's Day, I preach a Valentine's message. I don't think I've ever preached a Halloween message before, so this will be a new something new for me today. Halloween, if there was ever a holiday that honors Satan and lifts up him, it's this one that we have called Halloween. The name actually comes from All Hallow Eve. I don't know if you tore your calendars off yet, but I tore mine off this morning, and I noticed that tomorrow, November the 1st, is All Saints Day. Which was a holiday that came from in the past where everybody get together and you'd worship saints. And the thought was back then that anybody that was born on Halloween or the eve before All Saints Day had special powers to communicate with the saints. Anybody here born on October 31st, you wouldn't want to admit it now if you did, but you stop and think about what you've seen this week in the stores and on TV and what's been talked about on the radio. Halloween is a time when the world gives itself over to Satan and lifts him up. There's been more talk of Satan and demons this past week than there is any other time of year. This is a time of year when people do evil, and think that it's a prank. I mean, there's more fires that get set on Halloween and the eve of Halloween than there is any other time of year. And you talk to people that do it, and they say, well, it's just a good time. It's a prank. It's a trick. There'll be more eggs thrown at people's houses this time of year than there will. I mean, you wouldn't think about throwing an egg at somebody's house on Memorial Day or Labor Day, but at Halloween, some people think about it. There'll be more toilet paper spent this time of year for the wrong reason than any other time of year, as people will be, houses and trees will be TP'd. Now, I've never understood. I mean, I never did that. There's a lot of things of mischief I got into, but I can honestly say I never TP'd anybody's house. I don't understand why you would want to go out in the middle of the night and throw toilet paper all over somebody's trees. I just don't understand it. But that happens this time of year. People dress up and pretend to be something they're not. Superman, Prince Charming, Cinderella. Yes, Ray, I saw that. and then they dress up as evil characters, devils and demons. And then we do things at this time of year that under normal circumstances would be considered blackmail. This thing called trick or treat. You give me a trick, if you don't, no, you give me a treat, and if you don't, did I say that right? Give me a treat or else you'll get a trick. And so this morning, for my first Halloween message, I want to preach on the subject. Trick or treat. Trick or treat. Father, thank you for this time you've given us together. Thank you for your holy word. And I pray now that as we look into it in a real simple message this morning, Father, I pray that you teach us some divine truth, some truth that will make the difference perhaps in where somebody spends eternity. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us this morning, that you'd work a work in our lives that only you can work. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, today would be the day that they're born into God's family. For it's in His precious name we pray. Amen. I want to give you the point of my message right before I start so that you won't miss it. And it's real simple. And here it is. I'm going to say it three or four different ways. Satan's got all the tricks. God's got all the treats. Satan is a liar. God tells the truth. Satan wants what's bad for you. God wants what's good for you. But you get to choose. You get to choose whether you want God's treats or Satan's tricks. You get to choose whether you're going to believe God's truth or Satan's lies. You get to pick whether you accept the good things that God has for you or whether you will accept the bad things that Satan wants for you. Now, let me just give you some examples from the Word how this has been true, not in the just in the modern day when we've come up with this thing called Halloween, but all throughout recorded history, all throughout God's Word, and we won't look at all of them this morning, but it's the same thing over and over and over again. Satan lies, God tells the truth. God's got good things He wants to give us. Satan wants us to not have those, and he tries to keep us from getting them. Go back to the very beginning. Back in the Garden of Eden, there was a time of tricking and treating. God wanted us to give us the treat, to live in the Garden of Eden and fellowship with Him. Satan came with his tricks because he wanted us to get kicked out of the garden and not fellowship with God. God created the garden. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man who He had formed." God, I think, just made the Garden of Eden exactly for Adam and Eve. He knew what Adam and Eve needed. He knew, and He designed it. You talk about a landscaper. You talk about somebody that could bring nature together and form a perfect spot. It was God. And He planted this garden, and He put everything in it, all the good things that He'd made for man. And He put Adam there, and He put Eve there, and He said, "I made this place for you. I want you to enjoy it, and we're going to fellowship together, and we're going to have a good time." Now you stop and think about the Garden of Eden. You stop and think about how perfect it was. There were no weeds or dandelions in the grass. I mean, you didn't have to get out and weed the flower bed because there was no weeds in the Garden of Eden. The flies didn't buzz and the mosquitoes didn't bite. I mean, you didn't have to, when Adam and Eve went out for a picnic, Lois, they didn't have this buzz, 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 all these flies attacking. And when they stood out hand in hand and looked at the stars and the moon at night, they didn't hear the mosquitoes, the attack bugs. And you know what messed it up? Mosquitoes, they were made for a good purpose. But when sin came into the world, it messed up mosquitoes. And ask Walt about mosquitoes. He's got a new affinity for them since he went to Africa, and they gave him malaria. But they didn't have to worry about mosquitoes. They could stay out in the sun and not have to worry about the ozone layer being depleted by our antiperspirant and all the other spray things. And so they could stay out in the sun and not worry about the radiation and the sunburn. The fruit and the vegetables in the Garden of Eden, they didn't have to worry about chemicals that were sprayed on there to keep the bugs off. Or they didn't have to worry about the stuff they spray on the salad bars to keep the lettuce green and not turning brown. It was all fresh. It was all delicious. They could breathe deep because the air was sweet. Everything was fresh. I think Adam and Eve worked in the Garden of Eden. But you know what? I don't think they sweated until sin came into the world. They didn't need right guard or anything like that because God kept them fresh in the Garden of Eden. And all the animals were there for them to enjoy. And the best part of all in the Garden of Eden was that they got to fellowship with God. And I've read a lot, and I don't know if it was if it was Jesus that came and walked in the Garden of Eden. All I know, it was God. Some part of God came and in a physical way fellowshipped with this man and this woman that God had created and put in this place. And how many years they lived in the garden? I don't know. Adam was 130 when Cain was born. So perhaps they spent years and years and years there in that place that God made for them. And God said, when he put them there, he said, I made all of this because I love you. Everything here is, it was made by me, by my word, because, and I want you to enjoy it. Except for one thing. The tree in the center of the garden. The tree whose fruit if you eat, you'll know the difference between good and bad. The knowledge of good and evil. And God said, everything else is yours. But this one tree is mine. And he said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. See, God gave us a choice. He says, all these treats are for you. And you can enjoy them for a lifetime. You know, I think we'd still be in the Garden of Eden if we hadn't sinned. If we had obeyed God, if our forebears, Adam and Eve, had obeyed God, we'd still be there. But God said, I made it all for you. Leave this tree alone. And he gave us a choice. He says, you can pick my treats. See, God doesn't want robots. He wants people that love him by their choice. God, you know, do you ever stop and think about this? God could have made you where you had to love him. I mean, he could have built you to where you didn't have any choice. But God doesn't want that kind of love any more than you do. I mean, do you like it when somebody loves you because they have to? Huh? Does anybody like that kind of love? No. Even a parent. I mean, you're supposed to love your parent because you're their kid, because you're their child. But when your child loves you because they choose to, that's the kind of love that every parent wants. That's the kind of love that God wants. He wants love that springs from within because we want to love him. Now, he could have, in the Garden of Eden, he could have taken this tree and he could have put it on a high mountain. He could have made it hard for us to get to. He could have picked four or five angels and they could have surrounded this tree. But he didn't do that. Somebody tell me where the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was. Right in the center of the garden. Right in the middle of the garden. Right in the spot that Adam and Eve might have to go by every day. Right where they could see it every day. Where they could look at it every day. That's what we got, and God put it right there. And he put it right there and he says, all right, everything in the garden is a treat as long as you obey me. Then comes the trickster, Satan. Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, the serpent was more subtle or sneaky than any other beast. And he you know the story, Satan got to talking to Eve and he says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Satan says, Eve, didn't God say that you could eat of every tree? Every fruit? All the fruit? Didn't God say you could have it all? And Eve said, well, all except one. God said, if we ate of the tree of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day we'll surely die. And the first lie that was ever told in all the world was told by Satan when he says, oh, God didn't really mean that you would die. God knew that when you ate that fruit, you'd be as God. Your eyes would be open. You'd be able to tell the difference between good and bad. And the Bible says that Eve saw the fruit, that it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise, and she ate it and gave to her husband, and he did eat it. And they sinned. They disobeyed God. And listen, a lot of people say, well, I just did it because Satan made me do it. No. Did Satan make Eve eat the fruit? No. Did Satan make Adam eat the fruit? No. They ate it of their own free will. Their choice. And the first sad verse in all the Bible is Genesis chapter 23, chapter 3, verse 23, where it says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. That man that was made to fellowship with God, who was put in a perfect place, who was given a choice to pick the treat of God or the trick of Satan, picked the trick of Satan. And he was separated from God. He was cast out of the Garden of Eden. And ever since, we've been trying to get back to that position that we were created for, to fellowship with God. Trick or treat? God's treat living in the Garden of Eden, fellowshipping with him, or Satan's trick, the lies that he told. I wish that they would have picked the treats, but they picked the tricks. Now, let's move forward in time. Let's come to today. Let's talk about how, as Christians, we live our lives. It's the same thing. Trick or treat. Trick or treat. God wants us to live good, holy lives. Satan wants us to sin. Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, when he says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." And what Paul was saying is, those things I know to do that are good, I don't do them. And those things that I know not to do, those are the things I do. And Paul says there's a battle going on inside of me. And I've talked to you about this battle before. I've mentioned that old Indian that says it's just like there's two dogs inside of me that are fighting. There's a white dog that tries to get me to do good. That's the Holy Spirit. And there's a black dog that's trying to get me to do bad. That's the old man. That's the carnal nature. That's Satan that tries to get me to do bad. And the white dog is always whispering in my ear to do good things. That white dog, the Holy Ghost, is saying, tell the truth. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Watch who you run around with. Pick your friends wisely. Obey your parents. Stay pure. Be honest. Go to Sunday school. Go to church. And all the time, the Holy Ghost is, if we'll listen, now some of us have got our hearts so hard that we become dull of hearing. We don't hear when the Holy Spirit talks to us. And we need to get down, we need to get to the altar and say, "Lord, soften me up." How do you soften how do you soften things up? Some things you have to beat. You have to knead. And it'd be better for us if we'd get softer on our own and not have God do it. But that the Holy Spirit whispers in our ear, live right, live pure, live holy. Now what does the black dog say? Just the opposite. That black dog says, will say, go ahead and lie. Go ahead and cheat. Go ahead and steal. Go ahead, take that first puff of a cigarette. Go ahead, take that first drink of a beer. Go ahead, take that first drug. It won't make any difference. It won't hurt you. And Satan will lie. He'll lie every single time. He'll say, nobody will know. It won't make any difference. It won't hurt you. And sometimes I hear young people say that, and I want to stand up. It makes me mad. I want to stand up and shout, it's a lie! And Satan will lie to you. Listen, somebody does know. It's amazing to me. We will not do things in front of people because we're afraid what they think of us. But when we get by ourselves, we'll do all sorts of wickedness. Hey, God sees it. Don't you think that you can do anything that God doesn't see? You can't think any thought without God knowing it. You can't do any action or go any place. God knows it. And it upsets me and makes me mad that we have more respect, listen, for strangers, for people that we don't even know, than we do for God. We ought to live our lives every moment knowing that God sees and knows what's going on. And Satan will lie to you. Somebody does know. God knows. And it will hurt you. And it will make a difference. In that old story, somebody asked the old Indian, well, you got that white dog and black dog fighting. Which one wins? And the Indian says, the one I feed, the one I side with, the one I say sick 'em to. 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, chapter 10, verse 13, God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Just like Satan didn't make Adam and Eve sin, Satan doesn't make you sin. This excuse that we sometimes give, oh, Satan made me do it, you won't find that in the Bible. Satan can't make you as a Christian do anything. It's your choice. You get to choose trick or treat. You get to choose Satan's lies, or you get to choose God's treat. And then finally, trick or treat, heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. God wants us all to go to heaven. That's a treat. Satan wants us all to go to hell. That's a trick. Now, let me just reason with you just for a minute as I close. Satan wants you to go to hell, number one, because he's going there. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him and cast him into the bottomless pit." You know, we don't do enough preaching on hell today. Do you know that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven? In fact, do you know the things that are in the Bible that teach us about hell, most of them came from Jesus himself? Jesus thought it was important that he warned people about hell. A lot of people think, well, hell's just here on earth. Pray not. Hell is just they say in the Bible, when the Bible talks about hell, it's a figurative way of speaking. Pray not. Hell is a real place. The fire, the lake of fire the Bible talks about is an actual lake of fire. The darkness of hell is actual darkness. The bottomless pit is a bottomless pit. The insects that come out of hell in the tribulation that bite people, where the sore lasts for 3 months, they're literal insects and things in hell that are going to... And you know what the worst part about hell is? It lasts forever. I mean, when you get sick, you know that sooner or later it's going to end. I mean, you're either going to get well or you're going to die. I mean, one or the other. And sometimes I thought I was going to have to die to get better. But when you go into hell, there's no end to it. It goes on forever and ever and ever. Satan's going there. He wants you to go with him. That's why Peter warned us in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And Satan tells us all sorts of lies to try to trick us into going to hell instead of heaven. Satan will say, God is love. The God that's in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, the God who gave his only begotten Son, how can a God who loves people that much send anybody to hell?" Now, that sounds pretty good to some of us. I mean, we like to think of God as a God of love. We like to think that his love would not send anybody to hell. But I tell you what, I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. I find in the Bible that my God is a God of love, but I find he's also a God of judgment. I find that once we die, which we're all going to do, we're going to have to stand before him. And we're going to have to give an account. And you read through this Bible, you go through this Bible, and verse after verse after verse teaches us that God is going to punish sin. I mean, from that verse we read a moment ago, Genesis 3:23, where the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden," because Adam sinned, all the way to Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, where the Bible says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of the fire," over and over and over again. The record's clear, the record plain. God will punish sin. And the punishment that God, eternal punishment that God has set up for those that never get their sins paid for, is to spend eternity forever and ever and ever in this place called hell. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Look, these people that say that everybody's going to be saved, that everybody's going to heaven, they're wrong. It's a lie of Satan. Everybody's not going to heaven. Everybody, if they don't get their sins paid for, if they don't accept what Christ did for them on Calvary, is going to a literal hell. And we need to get back into where we preach about hell and we teach about hell. The greatest motivator for us to get out and tell people about Jesus is hell. D.L. Moody said one time, let me send 5 men to hell for 5 seconds and they'll come back and save the whole city of Chicago. And he was right. We need to remember there's a hell. We need to remember that our family and our friends are going there if they don't accept Christ as their Savior. Satan will say, he'll lie. He said, oh, God's love. God will love. And he is love. But he will also judge. And in his righteousness, he will punish sin. Satan will he'll say, huh, oh, don't worry about it. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is not doing it. Just like in Elijah's day, Elijah thought he was the only one that stood for God. And God said, came to Elijah and said, oh no, Elijah, there's 7,000 others that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Everybody else is not doing it. And everybody else that is doing it is on their way to hell too. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Satan will say, now look, how can all these people be wrong? They can be wrong because Jesus said they were going to be wrong. The way to hell is wide. The gate to hell is broad. And there's many, many people that have believed the lies of Satan and fallen for his tricks that this morning are on their way to hell. Don't you believe when Satan comes to you, you just go ahead, everybody else is doing it. It's a lie. And then Satan will come and he'll tell another lie. He'll say, oh, don't worry about it, we got plenty of time. Plenty of time. And he'll tell you that till your heart gets hard. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Trick or treat. You get to choose. You get to choose the most wonderful treat that God has prepared for man, that place called heaven. A lot of people say, well, the things in the Bible in heaven are figurative. No, they're not. They're literal. There is a place 1,500 square miles, a street of gold, where God is. Or you get to choose the biggest trick that Satan has played on mankind, hell. He'll lie and lie and lie and lie to you to keep you out of heaven. But you get to choose. Trick or treat. Father, I pray this morning, if there's one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you take the simple